So this morning, I've been kind of like in a bit of a, it's not a series, but it's really just something that the Lord continuously lay on my heart. A word of encouragement in this time. And the beginning of this year, I started off with a preach on trials, that in the midst of storms, in the midst of your troubles, that the Lord is refining you. And it's like, it's that refiner's fire. 1 Peter tells us that we've got to go through, and you'll constantly, God will apply the heat so that you come out shining and looking more like Jesus, reflecting Jesus. And in this week, I was just like, literally, I felt compelled to just go check up on a phrase that we see often in the Bible, is the word hold fast. Hold fast. Fast. Hold fast. In the book of Job, Job's wife, she says to him, "Are you still holding fast to integrity?" She's asking him a question in the midst of his trial. She says, "Just curse God and die. Are you still holding fast to integrity?" The Bible asks us if we're still holding fast to our confession. Are we still holding fast to the Word of God? In actual fact, that little phrase is 17 times in the New Testament. Hold fast. And going with that, and the whole concept of it is to persevere or to endure. And we see that, and we see it very much in the Pauline letters. Paul, Peter, they're all saying, "Guys, keep on keeping on. Don't stop." Yes, I know some of you are breaking out in a song that says, "Don't stop believing." I know. I know. It is the journey. Yes, it is. I know that was also a corny joke. Don't stop believing. Don't. I think there's so much that this world is trying to allure us and get us to just not believe Jesus anymore. The onslaughts have been worse than ever before. The restrictions, the masks, the only 100 people in a church, all these things. But yet the Lord says, hold fast. Hold fast. So let's start reading. I'm gonna jump around a little bit because there's a few scriptures that I want to highlight, and I want to tell you what do we hold fast to and what it means. How does it work? The first one we want to look at is Hebrews chapter 4. In actual fact, it appears quite a few times in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 says this: "Since then, we have a great high priest." Remember, we spoke about the priestly things about a week or two ago. We spoke about what is our sacrifices, because God has now called us priests. But we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Then he says, "Let us," and he's talking to Jews here, the writer of Hebrews, says, "Let us hold fast our confession." What do you confess? What is the thing that you profess to be? What is the essence of being a Christian? What is it? Or is the world dictating to us to tell us how Christians must be and how Christians must believe? Or are we looking at the Word of God, the infallible Word of God? I was having a conversation with somebody that said to me this week, "I don't read the Bible. I know that there is a higher power. I know that." And I know he's going to listen to this preach as well, so I've got to be careful what I say. But the thing is, if I don't have a sure anchor, if I don't have this, I have nothing. If I don't have the Word of God, which is His Word, this is His love letter to you and me. This is His instruction manual to you and me. So without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this is just another book. Let's be very honest. It's just another book. But the Bible says it must go and coincide with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life.
If you're reading the Bible and you're struggling in your daily walk with Jesus and you like sit there and you're like, what am I reading? You need to ask, Holy Spirit, come and reveal yourself in the scriptures to me. What is your confession? What are you holding fast to? And the first thing I want to say is this word, hold fast, krateo. It means to lay hold of and cling tightly to that which has been taken hold of. You lay hold of something. You cling tightly to Jesus. We cling tightly to the Word of God. We cling tightly to Him and what He has done for us. The one indictment against the church in the book of Revelation is that you have drifted. He says, I want you to return back to your first love. You need to come back to Jesus. We drift. We all drift. We all do this. We think we can put the car on autopilot and just sit back and relax, but we can't. Because every little bump and every crosswind that is coming against you will veer you off the point where you're going. Eventually you will be not a degree here, but 20 degrees out on that side, a few kilometers away from your destination. Every little thing. The Bible talks about the winds of change, the winds of oppression, the winds that are blowing. We allow these things, and they're gonna come, my friends. But you've got to hold fast to something. You've got to cling. You cling tenaciously with the idea of seizing and retaining, using this as strength. Here in this scripture, the writer is exhorting his readers, especially those that have been wavering, because the Jews at this point, they were wavering. They were thinking, you know, maybe we can go back into the law. Maybe we can do things that we used to do. And he says, no. And he starts off by writing and telling them why Jesus is better. There's everything. He's better than the high priestly order. He's better than angels. He's better. He is the confession that you hold on to. You see, they wanted to go back into Judaism and not forward into genuine saving faith in the Messiah. You see, as a principle of faith, and it's the faith book we read so much about faith in the book of Hebrews. It's a principle of holding on. In actual fact, it's a continuous tense. Let us keep on holding fast. It's not like, oh Lord, I have held fast for a moment, but I'm slipping. I'm slipping, Lord. And I'll show you now, it's actually not you holding. He's actually holding on to you. Let us hold fast. This exhortation is a repetition of the theme of perseverance that we see in earlier passages, actually, in the book of Hebrews. Let's go quickly to Hebrews 3, verse 14 to 15. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence. Please underline that in your Bible. Are you holding to your original confidence? This week, I had the opportunity to share my testimony again to somebody. It's been 29 years that I've served the Lord. 29 years. And the amazing thing is that I can always hold on to my original confidence, the reason why Jesus saved me. Original confidence. Firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Firm to the end. We persevere to the end. We can't say that I have a saving faith, but my faith is not keeping me to the end. Faith must continue to the end to be faith. We all get saved by faith. We all know that. But my faith must keep me to the end. Not my faith, not what I believe, but who has done, what He has done, what Jesus has done for me. So I want to look at this thing of perseverance or firm to the end or endurance. This is the maintaining of Christian faith through the trying times of our lives. Our faith is being tested. I don't know about you, my faith has been tested. Friday was 1 year that we were all in a lockdown. 1 year. Friday was 1 year that we were in lockdown. And I'm sure that each person that I can sit here, and I know most of you, you've been tested in this time. Most of you. Ria almost lost her parents. She felt like my faith is shaken. People have lost family members. People have lost jobs. Some people have lost hope. They felt like life is hopeless. But he says we need to persevere. We need to hold fast. The Bridgeway Bible Dictionary says this about perseverance. It says, God requires of Christians not only that they believe the gospel, but also that they persevere in living according to the gospel. You see, it's one thing to just believe the gospel, but it's also another thing to live according to what the Bible tells us. To live according to the gospel. The gospel is not just for me to be saved and I'm on the glory train unto heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, my friends, the gospel is good news. It still is good news. This week I found a guy. He keeps on popping up on my Facebook page. And I'm like, I know this guy. He was in school with me. But he was a naughty guy. Very, I mean the kettle calling the pot black. I know. But this guy now lives, and I see that he's got mutual friends, and he knows Milani, and he knows Russell, and everything. And so I made contact with him. He sits in some, I don't know, it looks like some godforsaken place in Namibia. And I'm like, where did you find Jesus? Because it's exciting for me. You know, I've been 30 years outside of school. I'm a young man, I know. And I'm looking at these guys that are born again now, outside of school, you know, and the context of what happened. And it's always interesting to hear, how did you hear the gospel? When did the gospel break through into your heart? When did you get saved? It's so wonderful to hear the testimony. The Bible says we overcome with our testimony. Testimony. What did I say? Testimony. Testimony. I get excited and I lose my train of thought. Perseverance is proof of the genuineness of faith and leads to spiritual maturity. To persevere, it shows us the genuineness, the depth of your faith. When Jesus called people to believe in him, he made it clear that he was calling them into a continuous relationship with him. You see, sometimes we just want a quick way out. We become Christians because it's the right thing to do, the nice thing to do. The benefits seem okay. But then, you know? Then there's a time that things become more difficult. You know, it's like joining church. It's the same. It's very much the same. You come to church and you're kind of like, I like it. It's vibey. Until the work starts. And it becomes difficult. And you kind of go, I didn't sign up for this. But this is life. You get married. You just have eyes for this woman. Until that one morning she wakes up, curlers in their hair, dog breath next to you, all of that stuff. And you're like, who is this woman? And she says the same to you. My beard is like up here. And it's like, who is this guy? He looks like John that comes out of the desert. You know, who is this guy? Your underpants are lying everywhere in the room. You don't put it in. You know, honeymoon's over now. Now, love needs to start covering a multitude of sins in the house. My wife has warned me a few times, listen, if I see another underpants on the floor, it's going to be thrown out. Or I'm packing it back into your cupboard, you're going to wear a dirty auntie. Honeymoon's over now, people. Now the real life starts. And it's the same with Christianity. I remember that first 6 months to a year, you know, like Holy Spirit baptism. Oh yes, that the time when I got baptized, man, it was amazing. And then it became hard. Because now I've got to press into the Word of God. I've got to find Jesus. I've got to go to church and I've got to serve. I've got to do all these things. Not because I'm compelled to do this, but because Jesus has moved in my heart. Not because I'm pushed to do something, but because Jesus has changed me. I've got to love my enemy. I've got to forgive those that revile against me, those that call me names. I've got to forgive them. This is hard, Jesus. Continuous relationship with Him. Believe involved more than just a momentary decision. It involved a life of following Him as a true disciple to the end. It's not just a moment of hype and a moment of emotion and goosebumps. I usually tell people when they come to Jesus, count the cost. The Bible uses terms like this. He says, before you build a house, count the bricks. Who of you have built houses before? Jullie het huis gebouw. Who's built houses before? Anybody else? Wie het huis al gebouw? En jy het 'n klomp bakstene. Wie het aangebouw in hulle huis? Jy moet weet hoeveel bakstene daar nodig is. Jy kan nie, ek dink so 200 sal doen nie. You've got to count the cost. You've got to say, there's enough bricks to build that wall. I need so many bricks. He uses the same thing as when you enroll into army. You don't belong to yourself anymore. He says, you can't just AWOL and like, okay, I'm done with this now. I'm done with this Christianity thing. Count the cost. You see, in one of his parables, Jesus actually showed that some people profess to be believers, but later, by the lack of perseverance, proved not to be. Christians are able to persevere because of the power of God working within them. I don't do this on my own. For me to get up in the morning and serve Jesus, it's his power that's working in me. It's his grace that is upon me. In addition to giving his people the promise of his power, God demands that they exercise self-discipline and effort as well. Jesus will hold you, but my friends, there is something. Faith is now. Faith is an active thing. We walk by faith, the Bible says. So every step we take is a step of faith every single day. Go pray for that person. Step of faith. Pay for that person's groceries. Step of faith. Go lay hands on the sick. Step of faith. Everything is a step of faith. We need to exercise self-discipline. We need to exercise effort. Christians must be on their guard and persist in prayer if they are to endure firmly to the end. The Bible says that. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. If people have true faith in God, they will prove it by their steadfast trust in His power and His promises. Their perseverance is not something God rewards by giving them salvation, but something that gives proof of their salvation. It's proof of our salvation that He saved us. It shows that their faith is genuine. At times, people may be tempted to give up on their Christian commitment. The source of their troubles may be the trials of life, persecution, desire for personal prosperity, worry, laziness, or even false teaching. I'm telling you right now, more false teaching have arose in this last while than I've ever seen. It's like a free for all. And we sit and we lap these things up, but we need to hold fast. We need to know what is the confession? What is the truth? We need to hold fast to that. Christians can fight against these temptations by training themselves in godliness, the Bible says, resisting the pressures of this world, continuing steadfastly in the truth they had believed. learning more of God through the scriptures and giving themselves wholeheartedly to whatever work God has entrusted to them. Can you hear that there is effort from your part in this? So God is holding you by His power. But there is also something that you need to exercise. Discipline in your life. You see, the outcome far outweighs what's happening right now. The outcome of Christian perseverance and the full expression of this will one day be when Jesus comes back. That is my reward. My reward is not just here and now. My reward is when Jesus comes back. So I have an eternal perspective. And I go, Jesus, I do this because I'm going to see you face to face. Paul says you've got to run with endurance. Run to obtain the prize. What is the prize? Jesus is the prize. Heaven is not just the prize. Jesus is the prize. You see, and we need to live constantly. Constantly in expectation of Jesus' return. It must incentivize us. We must run because Jesus is coming back. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 2. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. He said the whole thing of, I don't waver, I stand in the gospel, the good news, and by which you are being saved. Paul says, listen guys, this doesn't just save you. And I've said this numerous times. We are saved, we are being saved, and one day when Jesus returns, we will be ultimately saved. So he's talking about this. He says, you are being saved, guys, but you need to stand. You need to stand firm in that gospel. If you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Hold fast to the word that I preach to you. Hold fast. There it is again. Matthew Henry says this about this scripture. He says, the doctrine of Christ's death and resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. We're going into Easter. We're going into a time where we're going to celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we're planning some really great stuff for that Friday morning and for that Sunday morning, for Resurrection Sunday as well. But this is a time of the year where you should not just, this is a time where we're reminded, every time we come to the table of the Lord, we need to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us. This is the foundation, this table of the Lord is the foundation of Christianity. If you remove this, all our hopes for eternity sink at once. If you remove this, what do I have to stand on? And it is by holding this truth firm that Christians stand in the day of trial and are kept faithful to God. Foundations have been shaken like never before. My question is, what have you built on? And it's only when that earthquake comes, when the shaking comes, that you will truly know what you've built on. Have you built on your own selfish desires? Have you built on somebody else's belief system? Or do you believe what you believe? What is your confession? Are you holding fast to your confession? Hold fast. Hold fast. It means to adhere firmly to convictions or beliefs. That's what it means. Hold firmly. What is the convictions of your heart? What is the belief of your heart? What do you believe? This is a big question. Pontius Pilate is standing there and he's asking this question about Jesus. He says, what is truth? What is truth? We live, my friends, in a post-truth society right now. People don't care about what is truth. People don't care about the Bible. And I'm telling you right now, there's going to be a time when that word is going to be outlawed or tried to be outlawed. I don't think you can ever outlaw the Bible. Convictions, beliefs. see, note that our salvation is kept by Christ holding us fast. It's not just me hanging on, you know. A friend of mine always used to call it white knuckle Christianity. You know, Jesus, I'm holding on to you. No, no, my friends, he holds on to you. He's the one that made the covenant, not even with you. He made it with himself. We enter in by faith into this covenant. There's nothing that I can do to keep this covenant. He did it. He paid the price. I didn't pay the price for death. I didn't pay the wage of sin. I didn't pay for it. He paid for it. So he holds fast to me because he bought me. I belong to him. He is my master. Like we looked at last week, Lord. What is my Lord? Who is? He's my owner, man. He's my master. And I belong to him. It's not this white knuckle Christianity. Oh, holding on to him is evidence that he is holding on to us. I'm going to say it again. Our holding on to him is evidence that he's holding on to us. Luke 8:15 says this. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. In other words, you've heard the word of God. It needs to spring forth in your life. It needs to produce, the Bible says, a seed. If a seed has dropped into good soil, it needs to produce fruit. But there is also patience that is in there. And again, I want to say to you, it's this picture, and I think a lot of us, we think we produce fruit. No, it's the root that produces the fruit. So if there's bad fruit, you need to say, what is the bad root? What is the bad soil that I am in right now? Because I need to say, Lord, I need to be like transferred, the Bible says, from the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. Come and uproot my tree, God. I need to be planted in good soil so that I can produce good fruit. But it's only through good roots that you will produce good fruit. I have never seen a branch go, apple, apple, apple. I don't think so. I've never seen that. Like the branch is kind of like producing. No, no, no. It's the sap that comes from the bottom. It's through the roots that is producing that fruit. If you ask yourself, what is my roots? What is that confession? What am I holding fast to? You see, these people, they were teachable and they were obedient. They were developing Christian character, a good heart. A good heart. There's Christian character that is being built there. Producing genuine fruit of good works for the glory of the Father. Genuine good works. See, their spiritual fruit is a clear evidence of their spiritual life. In short, this group manifested evidence of authentic salvation. These guys. This is authentic salvation. They were producing, but it came through patience. It came through endurance. It came through teachability and obedience and submitting yourself constantly. Vernon McGee said this. He says, Jesus' point was that his disciples would sow much seed, but that they should not be distressed by seemingly poor results, including cases of apparent salvation, which were in reality nothing but an outward emotional experience, as evidenced by the fact that they did not hold fast the word and bear fruit. A lot of Christians, they have got this emotional experience, but they're not holding fast. And this, in the shaking, this is what's been shaken. Fruit has been tested. Fruit has been tested.
Acts chapter 27, verse 40. I'm just going to show you something about the holding fast. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders. Then hoisting the foresail to the wind, they made for the beach. You're like, how does that fit in? It's a beautiful picture, yeah, that Luke is giving us. And it's a nautical term that he's using, meaning to steer towards or land at something. Casting off the anchors, and I'm reading it from a different, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes off the rudders and hoisting the foresail. At the wind, they were heading for the beach. There is something of, I'm heading somewhere. Where are you heading to? What are you holding fast to? What does your journey look like? It literally means holding fast their course towards the beach. That's what it means. Have you set your sails? Have you set your course? Are you holding fast towards the beach? Are you holding fast towards that moment where you're going to see Jesus face to face? And we were going to get judged for everything that we've done and everything. Are you burying all that God's given you under a thing? And then you kind of go, you know what? I got hurt in church before. I'm just not going to get involved now. Jesus is saying, come on. I gave you a gift. I gave you something that you can be a blessing to others. Don't hide it. Don't hide your talent. Holding fast your course towards the beach. You see, life will make many attempts to take away our faith. COVID-19 has made many attempts to take away our faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, I want to remind you about this. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. What do you believe? Hebrews 3 verse 6. I want to read this quickly. Hebrews 3 verse 6. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. You see, God says we need to hold fast. What is your confidence in? Is your confidence in your bank balance? Is your confidence in your job security? Is your confidence, what is it in? What's your confidence in? My confidence is boasting in Jesus. My confidence is in Him and Him alone. I have no other confidence. I'm not confident that I can get up here and preach another gospel. I'm not confident to get up and say things that, I'm not confident in myself. I'm confident in what He has done. Confidence. Hold fast. I want to end off with Matthew chapter 10 verse 22. I want to read you something that Spurgeon said. He says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who holds fast, the one who endures, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. See, he wrote this, Charles Spurgeon wrote this. He says, perseverance is the badge of true saints. It is their scriptural mark. How am I to know a Christian? By his words? Because a lot of people have told me they're Christians, but they don't live. They don't have actions. Well, to some degree, words betray the man. But a man's speech is not always the copy of his heart.
For with smooth language many are able to deceive. What doth our Lord say? Ye shall know them by their fruits. But how am I to know a man's fruits? By watching him one day? I may, perhaps from a guess of his character, by being with him for a single hour, but I could not confidently pronounce a man's true state even by being with him for a week. George Whitefield was asked what he thought of a certain person's character. And his answer was, I have never lived with him. You've not lived with me. You don't know what I'm like when I'm at home. That was his answer. If we take the run of a man's life, say for 10, 20 or 30 years, and if by carefully watching we see that he brings forth the fruit of grace through the Holy Spirit, our conclusion may be drawn very safely. As the truly magnetized needle in the compass with many deflections, yet does really and naturally point to the pole. So if I can see that despite infirmities, my friend sincerely and constantly aims at holiness, then I may conclude with something like certainty that he is a child of God. Although work do not justify a man before God, they do justify a profession before his fellows. There's something of the work that we do. I cannot tell whether you are justified in calling yourself a Christian except by your works. By your works, therefore, as James saith, so shall ye be justified. You cannot by your words convince me that you are a Christian, much less by your experience, which I cannot see, but must take on trust from you. But your actions will, unless you be an unmitigated hypocrite. Speak the truth, and speak the truth loudly too. If your course is at the shining light, which shineth more unto the perfect day, I know that yours is the path of the just. All other conclusions are only the judgment of charity, such as we are bound to exercise. But this is as far as man can get it. The judgment of certainty when a man's life has been consistent throughout. A simple faith brings the soul to Christ. Christ keeps the faith alive. That faith enables the believer to persevere, and so he enters heaven. May that be you. May that be said of you and me. That we were men and women of faith, that we were holding fast, that we were enduring to the end. We ran our race with endurance to the end.